Those of you who are here for the sermon listed in the order of service, come back next week. That's next week's sermon. This week's message is, and service is our prayer, something that we say every week. And I don't know whether we think about it very much, about what that means. What does it mean to say, and service is our prayer? Is it a way of saying, well, you know, Unitarians have prayers too, but we don't really call them that. And we don't really pray or believe in prayer. So we just kind of say service, whatever that means. I want to tell you today that prayer and service are connected. And in a sense, what happens so often is either in terms of the opening word, somebody says my sermon, or in terms of an anthem, somebody sings my sermon. Today, Brad read it. Because when he's talking about making a difference in the world, that is service being our prayer. Most of us, when we think about prayer, we think about it in somebody else's orthodox definition of prayer. And we think about, well, gee, we're good, rational people. Do we believe in prayer? Do we believe in the efficacy of prayer to open up God's mind, to open up God's heart, to give us all those things or any of those things that are either deep in our hearts that we long for or really way out there on the surface we want? Is that what prayer is for us? Because if it is, we have trouble with the issue of belief. I don't believe in belief. When somebody asks me the big G question, do you believe in God? I tell them, it's not about belief. It is about experience. And when somebody asks, do I believe in prayer? It isn't about my belief in the efficacy of prayer and the nature of prayer and the theology of prayer. It is about a question of experience. Do I do it? Is prayer something that is in my vocabulary that I have some understanding of and some practice of? Nobody, I have pointed out in the past, ever comes up to me and asks me, well, John, do you believe in love? Because we, almost all of us, understand that love isn't about belief. It's about action. It's about experience. Do we experience love? Do we give love? Do we make love? Do we create and reveal love? It isn't about, well, I have an abstract belief that love would be a good principle under certain conditions. That's not how we deal with the experience of it. The idea of prayer, to me, is something that is deeper than our regular categories of what we think of as praying. For me, I don't necessarily believe that my prayers are supposed to be reminders to an omniscient being to please remember not to let my dear one die. Already in the first century of the Common Era, Philo of Alexandria looked at the issue of prayer and said, it can't be a wake-up call for God if you believe in an omniscient God. It's got to be for human beings to find out what it is that we value, what it is that we want, what kind of people or purpose or meaning are we willing to serve with our lives. And prayer is a way of finding out what we want. One of the things that I sometimes do, and it so happens that I don't have a coin in my pocket today, I meant to talk to the board about that. Well, we haven't taken up the collection yet. I'll have a coin later. One of the things that sometimes happens when people have some terrible, great decision to make is they'll say, I don't know what to choose. I don't know what I want. That's almost never true. And I was hoping for a silver dollar, but I'll take a quarter. Normally I ask no quarter and give no quarter, but Al's an exception. Normally somebody says, I don't know what I want. And I'll say, okay, heads it's this way, tails it's that way. And I flip it and then ask, so what did you want it to be when it was in the air? Because people almost always know what it is that they want it to be. Prayer is a little bit like that wish on the coin. It is some way of finding out what we value, what we want, what it is that is worthy of our time, of our attention, of our efforts. Most theologians, oh sure, it's a community quarter state. I saw the prenup, he gets the quarterback. You get the halfback, but that's another story altogether. Where was I? It was something about a quarterback and a halfback. I think it had something to do with either the UCLA game or the SC game yesterday. Most Orthodox theologians break prayer into three major kinds. And this, I'll footnote it, is from the theologian Jacques Ellul, who says that prayer is either the prayer of hallelujah, which is one that I do all the time. I mean, it was a beautiful day this morning. And you just kind of go, it's really good to be alive and to breathe in clean air and to know that I'm going to come to church and see my friends. And what a wonderful day. That's the hallelujah. That is the sanctification of life that we experience, most of us, all the time. I'm scheduled to fly up to see my granddaughter on Thursday. Hallelujah! I'm really looking forward to looking at her and holding her, and that just is one of those hallelujah experiences. That's a form of prayer that doesn't take belief at all. It is about experience. Then there's the prayer that most of us have a little problem with in our heads, and that's the, Lord, won't you send me a Mercedes-Benz? My friends all drive Porsches, you know the song. And I do that too, but I don't believe in it. But I do it anyway. And that's of the same trivial nature as I'm driving along and I see the highway patrol in the rearview mirror and I go, don't turn the lights on. Don't turn the lights on. That's a prayer, and it is theologically trivial. It can be economically quite significant, but it's theologically trivial, and I don't believe in it, but I do it anyway. Then there's what Jacques Ellul calls self-involving prayer. Well, now let me give you my extra category. I have a fourth category, which I'll do before the third, and that is the bargain prayer. God, if you do this, I'll do this. If you get me out of this mess, I will dedicate the rest of my life to you. As my old partner, office partner at Star King School for the Liberal Ministry, George Johnson said, he was in a foxhole in Korea. And he said, you get me out of this foxhole, Lord, and I'll become your servant for the rest of my life. He became a Unitarian Universalist minister. God gave him a call and said, well, I'm not sure that that really is keeping the bargain. So George went back to his Methodist roots and has been a Methodist minister for the rest of his life. But you understand the mechanism of if you, then I. I don't believe in that theologically, but I do believe in it psychologically. I believe in it as George found out something that he wanted out of the foxhole. We find out about our priorities. Any mothers or fathers here ever held a sick baby and said, make the baby well and make me sick? It tells you what your values are. It informs us about ourselves at the very deepest level. And often it reveals stuff that is good and kind and generous and open, and that's all good stuff to be reminded of. Jacques Ellul's third and last category is called self-involving prayer. It's the one that says, okay, God, I'm not necessarily asking you to do it for me. I'm asking you to give me the strength to do it. Very different. It's the difference between God, make peace in the world, and St. Francis says, God, make me an instrument of your peace. Let me have the strength to engage a broken but beautiful world. Let me have the strength to get up in the morning without a sense of overwhelming despair at all the pain and all the suffering and all the complexities of the world. Let me not give up. Give me strength. That's a prayer that I completely relate to. Do I believe in it? It's not important. I do it. I do it often in a religious setting. I will go inside and look at what it is that I want to do to serve and to have the strength to be and to remain connected to life, to the source of life, to that beautiful and broken world out there. If we understand, and here's where I try to build the bridge that the first hymn talked about, if we understand that in both Orthodox prayer and in non-Orthodox prayer as service, there is an attempt to influence the future, we find that we're on the same page. I want to influence the future not simply when I say, God grant peace. I want to influence the future when I look for the strength to be involved and to manifest my prayer in service. Because service to an idea, to an ideal, to something greater than my immediate self-interest, I think it is of service to long-term self-interest, but my immediate self-interest is in fact trying to influence a future. When people show up working for or against a proposition, service is their prayer. They are trying to influence the future, to make a good difference through their sacrifice of time, their dedication to a cause. When Brad is talking about the difference that R and other Unitarian Universalists sending these plastic bags to Latin America, what it makes and the difference of the lives of real people, service is our prayer. We have the strength, the belief, the faith, the repeated desire to make a difference, a good difference in the lives of real human beings. And that is how we serve. We serve to try to make tomorrow different and better than today. Not simply by requesting that somebody else do it, not simply by hoping that a deity will do it, but by bestirring ourselves first to go inside to find out what we value and what we worship, what is of worth to serve, and then going outside and manifesting our prayers, making our prayers flesh. This is incarnation. It is taking our values and getting it beyond words and putting it into the flesh of our hearts and hands so that other people will be served. And service, therefore, is our prayer. The other thing that service is our prayer has in common with an Orthodox sense of prayer is this. Not all prayers are answered. Sometimes the red light goes on despite the sincerity of my desire for the highway patrol not to turn it on. Sometimes my team doesn't win. Sometimes bad things and seriously bad things happen and I have prayed and prayed. And sometimes those efforts that I have made to be of service, to work in an election, to work on a proposition, to work for a candidate, against a candidate, for a cause, against another cause. Sometimes, as a liberal, often, I don't win. My prayer isn't answered. But my prayer still counts. My service still counts. The fact that I, that you, that we go inside to examine the things that we value and try to make them real, give them flesh in the world, is of value, even when we don't win. Because part of the message is, there is never permanent victory, and as long as we're here, there's never permanent defeat. The issue is to stay engaged in the world, to believe that the things that we choose, the things that we do, the efforts that we make, make a difference. I might not win in one particular election, but maybe I inspired somebody else to be involved in the next election through my work. Maybe somebody with whom I was stuffing envelopes says, hey, you know, that this next election, we're going to stuff more envelopes and we're going to win that. We don't know the influence, the inspiration that we have on others when we act out and live out our own values and make service to something larger than ourselves our prayer and our legacy. Service is our prayer. I guess I do believe in prayer. I do believe that going inside to find out our values makes a difference in how we lead our lives. I do believe that how we lead our lives and make manifest our values makes a difference in the immediate effort of what we do and in the larger issue of what we model and represent to our family and to our friends. We don't have a duty to win or to take all of our marbles and to withdraw and just never be engaged again because we can't win. Never believe that. Always believe that there are no final defeats and no final victories. That as John F. Kennedy said, every generation has to fight for its own liberty. Liberty is never something that has been permanently won and you can put in plastic and put on your mantle over your fireplace. It is something that every generation, thank God, needs to be involved in creating, sustaining, and nourishing. The flame does not stay on untended. And we are called and we are committed to serving the light as it illuminates our souls and our insides. We are all keepers and maintainers and sustainers of the flame of love, of reason, and of hope.